The message today is open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. And so what we're talking about and have been talking about all this year is the gifted church. The gifted church. How many know we are a church that has gifts from heaven today? Amen. How many know that there are things that we don't even know that God has given to us, that God wants us to move in, wants us to pray in, wants us to do ministry in? Amen. And that's what we've been talking about. Jesus knew that if he was going to take his place at the right hand of the Father, if he was going to ascend into the heavenlies again to take his rightful place to intercede for you and I, he understood that the job that he came to earth for still needed to be done. That's what he knew. He had completed our salvation, but how many know there was a job such as Anthony going to London and seeing 8 come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? See, we have to understand these things, right? Amen? And so the job had to be accomplished. And so what he did is he turned it over to his disciples. He turned it over to the church. But he understood also that they would need the power that he moved in to get it done. Otherwise, it wasn't going to be done because it was such a big task. And so he gave them gifts. And this is what we've been looking at. Because I want you to know today that whom Jesus calls, he also equips. Yesterday, I got to speak to my cousin's husband at the wedding. And he was a pastor in a church for years. And basically, the church threw him out. And there's a lot of pain. As we talk, there's a lot of pain in his heart. Now, he's gone on to take another position in the secular world, but he told me that he also does pulpit supply, which is filling in for pastors when they're not there, and that he also does some speaking, you know, around when he can. But I could tell in his heart that it was, that his heart had been injured, and, you know, that this church basically puts him out. Now, that can't happen in a four-square church, because I'm not voted on by the body. Now, if there's a problem with me, you guys can definitely call the supervisors and let them know, and they will intervene. But in a four square, we are appointed. So I'm appointed to this church by my supervisor every year. I have a new appointment. So I praise God for that, because I've seen churches, especially another Pentecostal type of church, where they have boards, and these boards can really become nasty. And people can be controlling, and if the pastor doesn't preach what they preach and what they want him to preach and things like that, or what she does, they toss them out. And that's a hard thing for a pastor. But what I was saying, I was going that with this. God gave us gifts, and pastor was one of those gifts. That's why I said that, I think. Whom Jesus calls, I know what it was. Whom Jesus calls, he also equips. So he gave them the fivefold ministry to equip them. This is what he did in the church. We see the five gifts over in Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to look there. We've looked there for weeks now. I'll name them again just in case you don't know. They are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These are the fivefold ministry gifts that are given to everybody so that when these people do their jobs and when they come out and live according to their calling, they raise up those that are listening. They raise up those in their care that Jesus has trusted to them in their leadership to go out and do the work of the ministry. They equip the church. So he first gives them these fivefold ministry gifts. And listen, they're all in operation today. I'm sick and tired of Christians that are saying, well, the apostles aren't here today. They most certainly are. And I want you to know that. It may not be the apostles like what we saw with Paul and those types of things. But I want you to know, Brother Dennis Shear is an apostle. He moves in the apostle ministry. So I'm tired of discounting the Bible. I'm tired of people coming and saying, it's not this, it's not this. It most certainly is. The Bible is yes, yes, and amen. It's the truth from the beginning to the end. Amen. Believe that with me? That's what I preach. That's what I'm going to teach. So he gives them these fivefold ministry gifts. Men and women called to ministry to build up, to edify the church in God's word, to raise the level of faith in the saints, and to bring them to a place of spiritual maturity by which they may move out into the world and into their ministries. Then he gave these ones who were being equipped by the fivefold ministry, he gives these ones special manifestations of his Holy Spirit to enable them to move in these ministries, to enable them to do the work that the pastors and apostles and teachers and evangelists and all these other ones are lifting them up to do. He moves in their lives. These gifts also edify and build up the church. And this is how God's people, his church, encourage and build up one another. We have been calling these, as we've been studying these, we have been calling these the manifestation gifts. There are 9 of them. We find them over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are diverse gifts, yet they all lead to the same result. The profit of the whole church, the Bible says. It says they are given for the profit of all. They build up the church. They encourage the church. They demonstrate the power and the presence of God among his people. They edify the church, and they also edify the unsaved, because if there are unsaved sitting among us, when they see the power of God move in certain ways, guess what they know? God is real. If God did that, God is real. There's some source of what I'm experiencing. There's some source of what's going on in my life. There's some source of what is going on in this group of people that I cannot deny it. Something is moving. I may not understand who he is. I may not understand all the ins and outs of how he's working, but I know that he's there. And so they demonstrate the power and the presence of God. They also take on different looks, and they appear in different peoples. These aren't gifts that you can claim. These aren't gifts that you can say, hey, I move in that. That's something else we're going to get to. We're probably not going to get to it this year. We're probably going to start it in the new year, okay, as we continue in this series that we're working on. I don't think, as I've been praying about the theme for the next year, I think the Lord has just said, stay where you're at, continue to move where you're at, and let's go another year in this, and let's give God the time that he needs to minister this in our realm and in our place. Amen? And so that's what I'm sensing from the Lord. So I may not come to you with a new theme for next year. I think we just continue as we talk about the church that is alive, the church that is moving, and the church that is not compromising. Those are some thoughts in my mind as we go through and think about this next year. We can categorize these nine different gifts in three different types of functions. We have the power gifts. We call them the power gifts because they do something in the people of God. Faith. Faith, the gift of faith is walking. It's not the faith that we all have as Christians and believers. This is a supernatural level of faith. These messages are online. It is walking in stride with and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish miracles and wonders in his name. The gift of faith. We have the gift of miracles. We looked at this last week. A supernatural ability to perform things unexplained by our natural world through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we also spoke a couple weeks ago about the gift of healing. These are the power gifts. They do something. Healing is a supernatural power to heal yourself or others. Those are the power gifts. Then we have the revelation gifts. There's three of them. And we call them revelation gifts because simply they reveal something. We have the word of wisdom. We looked at it already. A supernatural wisdom that works within the parameters of the truth presented in God's word. So word of wisdom is a deeper understanding brought on by the Spirit of God for someone to be able to understand something that is written in the word of God, to live by it, and to be able to apply it to life. And then we have the word of knowledge. This is the ability to know something to be true that goes beyond the ability of natural thinking. All right, that's the word of knowledge. We also have the discerning of spirits. This is one we haven't covered yet. Then we have the utterance gifts. These are the last three. And we call them the utterance gifts because they say something. We have prophecy. We already looked at that. It's a direct word from the Lord to build up others and to further his divine will. And then we have two that we have not yet looked at. We will finish them next week. And that is speaking in tongues and interpreting in tongues. So we will look at them. So that would lead you to believe then that we are going to finish up today the revelation gifts. Because the one that I'm talking about is I want to look at today the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. Look over with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read our scriptures for today. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Most of the church is ignorant today to these things. I want you to know that. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And so today we're going to go to that little scripture that says there, to another, discerning of spirits. I want to talk to you about the gift of discerning spirits today. We live in a physical world affected by a spirit world. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Our physical world is affected by the spirit realm. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we do not wrestle against blood, flesh and blood. That is the physical world that we live in. We do not wrestle against the physical world. Yet most of our battles show where? In the physical world. And that's where we find ourselves wasting our time, wasting our finances, wasting our lives, trying to figure out how we're going to pull all of this together in the physical world. But he says we don't wrestle against that. We wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, this is the ESV, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. We wrestle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is the spirit world, and that is really what affects us in this physical world. Every battle that you have in this physical world is brought on by a battle that is waging over your life, over your children's lives, over your grandchildren's lives, over your family, over this church in the spirit realm. Now, here's why we don't know a lot about that. Because some just forget that that's the case. Others don't understand it. And then others, they just can't see it. There's a lot of, in talking with people, who was it that just told me today? Was it today? Was it yesterday? It was last night. I was talking to my uncle, who's a Christian. And he was telling me that somebody that we know just doesn't believe that God really even exists. And so this is the world we live in, church. It's an antichrist world that we're living in. It's an antichrist society. And so some people will never even believe that these things could even take place. And some of these people are sitting in churches. I want you to know this. Some of these people are standing behind pulpits. And they're preaching great words. But they still don't believe that these things can take place, or that God still does these things, or that God even exists, or that his word is even truth. I know that to be true. And so, discerning of spirits, what is it? It is a unique ability brought on by the Holy Spirit to see into the spirit realm. And what I'm talking about is seeing beyond our natural realm, seeing beyond what is happening here to really begin to see what is really happening. The perfect example that I wasn't going to put in my notes today, but it's fresh in my mind because I just spoke it last week in OSL chapter 4, because we're learning about the spirit world in OSL 4. We have five in OSL 4, so we have a great group of people in OSL 4. And in that, we learned about Daniel Praise on day one, right? That's a man in OSL 4 that's very happy. Daniel Praise. It says, the angel says, when he shows up to Daniel 21 days later, 3 weeks later, he shows up. The angel says this to him, Daniel, I was sent from God the day that you prayed. I left heaven 21 days ago. What has held me up in getting God's message to you is I had to fight in the spirit realm, and Michael came to my aid. The archangel Michael, the warrior angel, had to come and help me defeat, I think it's the Prince of Persia, okay? Had to defeat him in the air, that I was then not held back anymore and able to come and deliver your message. This shows why some of us pray and pray and pray, and we get upset and upset with God because God didn't come through. No. That answer was sent the day you began to pray. There's a battle that wages over our lives. There's a battle that wages over this church. There's a battle that wages over believers in the spirit realm every day. And that battle is so significant that we don't truly understand it. I'll tell you what, I think one of the most amazing scenes of that was I went to Sight and Sound for the Christmas show. If you've ever seen a Christmas show, it's Sight and Sound. And as Mary goes into labor in the manger, two angels fight overhead, and it's a dramatic scene. I mean, they're swinging on these ropes, and they're swinging swords at each other. One's Michael, and one's a satanic force, because the satanic force wanted to kill Jesus then. He didn't want him to come into this world, and it just opened my eyes up to see something that we usually don't see. I love that they took the liberty to do that, because it opened my eyes to see that there is this ethereal place where battles are fought over our lives, and we're just like, oh, that person doesn't like me. It has nothing to do with that person. It has everything to do with the battle that's waging over your life for either hell or heaven. I hope you see that today. Let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 17. I think this really spells it out. Now the king of Syria, 2 Kings 6, 8 to 17. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. In other words, we're going to set up over here. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, this is Elisha, he sends to the king of Israel, the king that Syria is coming against, and says, beware you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. He kept his eyes on it. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who's the spy? Who's the one that's giving all of our strategy away? And one of his servants said, none of us, Lord. Oh, king, but Elisha the prophet, listen to this, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. I love it. So he said, well, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of Elisha, man of God, rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what are we going to do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes, his servant's eyes, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. See, he didn't see physically now. He saw into the spirit realm. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. See, he didn't see this battle that was taking place. He saw the army physically that was coming against him. Oh, master, we're in trouble, right? This thing's not going to go well for us. No, we're fine. Lord, open his eyes. Let him see the spirit realm. And he sees the spirit realm and realizes there are horses of fire and angels of fire encamped around them. And how many know the king of Syria was not going to win the battle that day? They were outnumbered. We see two things here that happen I want to show you two things that happen when this spirit or this gift of discerning spirits comes into play. I believe that we see it here. First, the plans of the enemy are revealed. Come on, church. In the words of the king's servant, you know what? Elisha knows every word you say in your bedroom. I don't know about you, but the bedroom is where we talk about personal things, right? The bedroom is, or our back room, or wherever we are. Those are places where we talk about the things that are most important to our hearts, the things that we don't want anybody else to know, the secrets of our lives. Elisha knows every word you speak in your bedroom. In other words, you know what, king? He knows your private stuff. He knows the things that you're saying. This word here for discerning is the Greek word diakrisis, and it means judicial estimation. Now, we know that the word spirit there is pneuma. You've heard that before. It means breath, breeze, or spirit. So when you put these words together, discerning of the spirit, which would be diakrisis pneuma, what we see here is it is a spiritual ability to see into the air, to see the invisible things, to see the invisible realm, to know what is happening in that realm, and therefore be able to know how to make a difference despite those things. It is the ability to know what is motivating a person or situation. Let me say that again. That's why I put it on the screen for you today. It is the ability to know what is motivating a person or situation. How many know that will hinder the enemy in so many powerful ways in our lives? How many know the person whom you're fighting against, the person whom you've had an argument against, the person who's coming against you, when you begin to ask the Lord, God, manifest your spirit in me, give me this gift of discerning spirits, move in a way, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see past that person, you're going to begin to see the spirits that are operating in those lives, and you're not going to have to go fight that person. You're going to be able in the spirit realm to pull those spirits down. Amen? Praise God. This is warfare. This is battle. This is a spiritual battle 101. Amen? You got to see the spiritual battle first. You got to recognize that it's there. And so this will hinder the enemy in our lives in such amazing ways. How many can see that we need this church, that we need this in operation, this gift in operation in our church today? We need to know the things that are coming against us. I've been praying about our church. I've been seeking God about our church. And I don't know who I was just talking to. It might have been Pastor Jerry. I've been listening to a lot of OSL4 messages in the last few weeks. And I think Pastor Jerry says this about something. You need to find out what the source is of the problem that you're facing. And so my prayer has been, Lord, there is something in our church that we have not put a finger on yet, that we have not been able to identify that keeps us where we are instead of growing us in the way that we need to grow. Lord, help me as the pastor see that. Help me as the pastor begin to understand that in a greater way. And I'm believing that God is going to reveal something to us, probably from past, that has affected us. We talked about last week in OSL4, just to bring this to light and why I'm believing this, is David is king. David is king, and I think they go for 4 months without food and water. There's a great, what would we call that? Famine. Thank you very much. There's a great famine. And David says, something's wrong here. Something is affecting us. When David prays, God gives him the answer and says, David has nothing to do with you. Saul broke his covenant with, do you remember the ones, I can't remember where they came from, the Gerasites anyway? They were the ones that made a deal with, they were close neighbors that were supposed to be kicked out of their land, but they put shoes on that wore down and moldy bread, and they said, we traveled afar, now make a covenant with us. They should have never made a covenant. Saul made a covenant with them. So they never got moved out of the house, but later on, Saul kills them. And so God says, no, there was a covenant. See, God's a covenant God. Even though he never wanted a covenant with these people, his people who were in covenant had made covenant with them. And so God honors that. And God said, no. And so David had to go ask those people, what would you like us to do? And they said, we want 8 of Saul's living relatives to be hung and to be killed to make justice for that. He goes and hangs those 8 men, saving Mephibosheth because he had made a covenant with Jonathan about his son Mephibosheth, saving them. And as these men are hung and then taken down and buried or whatever they do with them, that curse is lifted off of Israel. See the spiritual battle? We have to know what we're really fighting against because we get caught on the wrong things. We have to know the enemy's plan. This is key today, church. You see, Satan is a spirit. And as a spirit, he can hide behind things that we won't always notice, that we won't always see. It's like camouflage to a sniper, if you know anything about snipers. You get these snipers, they put on those ghillie suits. It might be a winter ghillie suit if they're in the snow. It might be a desert ghillie suit or a jungle ghillie suit. And they can get into a place that you will never see them. And they'll sit there for days until their target comes into view. And you won't know they're there. They won't leave any track that they're there. They can be hidden there. And they will sit there until they can take the kill shot. If Satan was walking around in our world physically and coming against Tony and saying, hey, Tony, here I am. Tony would see him coming. Tony would say, not today, man. No way. Right? Because he would see him coming. But see, Satan doesn't come to us in a physical form. He comes to us in a spirit form. He comes to us hidden. He comes to us camouflaged in the spirit, something our eyes can't see. And then we wonder why Christians are being picked off left and right. Men and women go down without even knowing that he was there, without even hearing the crack of whatever weapon he's using. They go down. But this gift of discerning spirits removes that camouflage. And it exposes him right where he is. And you know what happens in that point? The sniper needs to move on. He needs to get up and get out of there because he knows they're coming for him. And he needs to wait for another day, if possible, to take that kill shot. This is what it is, discerning of spirits. And so many spirits, Satan presents himself as holy. Satan presents himself as clean. He presents himself as moral and presents himself as this and that. And we vote for it. We stand for it. We talk about it. Sometimes we even pray to it without even realizing that, well, that's not God. That's an evil spirit. There are a lot of people confused in the church today. We see something very similar to this. In this scripture, Matthew 17, 14 to 21. We're going to get back to where we are. Don't worry, we're talking about that story. But listen to this. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Lord, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, this may be a stretch. I don't believe that it is. I know that this lesson, that this story is a lesson to the disciples about faith, about prayer, about fasting. I get that. But I see a little more here, and I hope you can see this as well. I cannot prove it, but it would seem to me that the disciples were missing something. The father says that they tried to cure the boy. How many know Jesus doesn't go to cure the boy? Jesus goes to the source. He goes to the demonic force that's causing this epilepsy. I'm not saying that all epilepsy is demonic forces, but I think that much of what we see in our world today can be demonic, and we just don't know it. Okay? Please hear what I'm saying. There's medicines, there are doctors, there are things, you know, that people need. I get all that. We're not taking it away from them. But what if we could see into the realm for just a few minutes and begin to call out over people's lives the real situation of their life and just say this, this, or this and see it repealed? Amen? I don't know. But here's what I see. They evidently knew that it was demonic possession, I think, the disciples, because it says, why couldn't we cast it out? So either they did not know the type of demonic spirit that they were working with, or they didn't understand something that had a hold on that child's life. But Jesus, as the Son of God, he operated in all of these gifts that we're talking about all the time. And so he sees instantly beyond this child into the spirit realm and understands that there is a dark force that is causing this child through his epileptic seizures to throw himself in fire and into water. And Jesus says, it's done. Come out. And it says the child was cured. The child wasn't cured. The child was set free. You see what I'm saying here? This is what this is all about. Jesus wants the church. Jesus needs the church. Jesus needs you and I to see as he sees. We need to do that. This is what he needs. He needs us to see these things. He needs us to understand these things. And so the second thing, he's able to know what they couldn't, and he's able to cast it out. Something was exposed to Jesus that was not exposed to the disciples. Let me go into, because they're both going to go together, let me go into the next thing. The second thing that we see today is this. Our victory is defined. Our victory is defined. The prophet's servant was sure that they were done. Elisha, you want to come out here for a minute? This doesn't look good. Lord, open his eyes. Let him see the hosts of heaven that are fighting on our behalf. And as his eyes are opened, he sees what's really going on in the battle. And he sees into the air. And he sees that they are not outnumbered, but that the forces that are coming against them are not going to win this battle. Amen? That's what this is all about. Jesus says, I want you to see as I see. He wants us to see the spirit realm, for though we do not live in it yet, we're going to be spirit someday. We are affected by it every day. This is what I want you to see. You're affected by the spirit realm every day. When this happens, we know who we are fighting. We don't know that before. I think of the story of the legion of demons. And Jesus point blank asks them in this man. He says, who are you? You don't think Jesus knew who they were? I know he did. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get them to name themselves. And the spirit that speaks to him from this man that breaks every chain, lives in the cemetery, cuts himself all the time with stone and everything else, is undressed all the time. The spirit speaks out of this man and says, we are legion, for we are many. Now think about that. Jesus knew his enemy, but now he knows exactly what to do with them. See, then when this happens, we know better how to fight the battle, because we know the enemy that we are fighting. Let me tell you, just by watching some of the things that I see taking place in the church today, and I'm not saying us, I'm saying the church as a whole, some of the things that we are buying from our world, some of the things that we are compromising, the lies that we are believing, and the things that we are falling into, it is very evident to me that the average Christian does not have the ability to even judge between good and evil. And I hate to say that because I know some of you get mad at me for that. But I'm telling you, evil would be right in front of us and we wouldn't know what to call it. We call it evil. Amen. That's what we call it. And we call it down. And we tell it that it has to surrender to the name of Jesus Christ. This gift allows us to do that. It allows us at the simplest point to be able to know in a deeper way good and evil. And not compromise with the evil anymore. And not get involved with the evil anymore. But to know that this is it. We don't even need this gift to be able to do so. Really, all we need is this. This will spell out for you what the difference is between good and evil. It'll tell you what's good and it'll tell you what's bad. But you know what else it says? It says that in the end days, good would be called bad and bad would be called good. And that's what's happening in our society today. That's what's happening. Think about the scenarios for this. Someone finally receiving a word that they are fighting their whole life for, and they've been fighting the wrong thing. Think about this. They've been doing this for years. They've been trying this. They've been doing this. And all they wanted is victory. All they wanted is to be free. And they're getting madder and madder at God because it's not happening. Well, God said if I prayed about it. Well, God said if I did this, if I stayed in my word, if I did that, if I had people pray over me. God said that he would do this, but it's not happening. And I've been fighting my whole life for this. But then one person sees into the spirit realm. One person is giving the discernment of spirits. And they see into the spirit realm and they say to that person, whoa, that's not your battle. This is the demon that is plaguing you. This is the thing that is being fought over your life. Now let's pray this way and let's cast it out. And in those few seconds, in those few minutes, they go free from what they've been fighting their whole lives for. Think about that. Could you see the benefit of this in our marriages? Yeah, well, we're not fighting our spouse. There's a demonic battle that's going over our lives for our marriage. Could you imagine this in our jobs? Yeah, well, I don't like... It's not about your boss. It's not about the people you work with. It's about this battle that's waging over your life in the spirit realm. Yeah, well, you know, my child's in this. It's not about your child. It's about the battle in the spirit realm that Satan is trying to kill your child, snuff your child out, steal your child, and you've got to be able to see into the spirit realm and be able to speak into that thing and say, no, this will not happen in Jesus' name. Because you know the demon that you're fighting. You know the spiritual battle that's taking place. You just don't react to what's happening physically. Think about how many people are in bondages today to spiritual things that they don't understand are spiritual. What has them? Now, I know some of you get mad at me. I know there's people here in recovery. I know there's people here that are dealing with this. And please don't get mad at me. Listen to what I'm saying because I think it's going to make sense and might even set you free today. Is it really alcohol? Is it really drugs? Is it really sex or lust or whatever? No, it's not. That's the effect of it in your life. I want to tell you, and this is where people are going to be upset with me. I can't believe you're telling me I'm demon-possessed. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you there's a demonic oppression from hell that is over your life and bringing this against you. It is a spirit of alcoholism. It is a spirit of drug addiction. It is a demonic force of lust. It is a demonic force of sex and anything else. You can do gossiping. We can do whatever we want to go to. That's what it is. And you begin to pray. I know you're going to the meetings. I get that. And they're good. I get that. I'm not telling you to not go to the meetings. But this is why this affects generations of the same family. This is why my dad was an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic. It went back to my grandparents. My dad was a gambler, I'm a gambler. Listen, it can break. And this is why the Bible says that God comes against the sins of the generations down on through the children. Why? Because it's handed off by a demonic force that was opened in a family, I don't know how many generations ago or in your life, and you've allowed it to continue because you have fought it, you don't want to do it, and you're fighting this battle, man, and sometimes you're coming to the edge of everything you have. You need to pray, believe that in this church we will have somebody with discernment of spirit, and they're going to walk up to you in the nicest way and say, you know what's going on in your life right now? This, and this. Let's pray against it right now. Boom, and you're set free. You never have to go back to a meeting. You never have to do this. You never have to battle with that again. Why? Because the spirit has been lifted. The spirit has been defeated. Come on, I want to know you. It's the truth today. I want you to know. I hope those of you that are dealing with this are loving me still, not saying, I'm not calling you demon possessed. Please understand that. They end up fighting their whole lives to be free to it. And they still end up fighting day after day after day. If this gift was an operation, the person whose spiritual sight is active would speak into the life and say, this is the dark force that's over your life. This is the spiritual bondage that's over your life. Let's see it go. I feel this is why Christian-based programs have a much better success rating than just secular programs. Because they're telling you who the higher power is. They're bringing you into the presence of the higher power. And the higher power is revealing to your life the things that really will touch your life and bring healing. Amen? Amen. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and powers of evil. Let's begin to call it what it is. When this gift is in action, folks, every victory is seen. Every victory is seen. They saw the armies of fire. He saw the armies of fire and he understood, wait a minute, we're not in a bad situation after all. We're going to win this. And I think there are a lot of Christians that need to begin to see into the spirit realm, ask God to open their eyes and show them what is really happening and begin to see there's more with us than there are against us. And I'm going to have victory in this. I'm going to have victory over this. And I'm going to go free from this because my God is fighting for me. My God sees this. My God understands this. The battle is out in the open. See, we don't always see the battle. We just see that thing. We see that person. we see that whatever it is, that boss, and we get mad at them. That's not the battle. The strategy for the victory is now open on the table. It's like God begins to move those little figures on a map of the war. You know what I'm saying? You've seen what I'm saying. I just got a game. I kickstart a lot of board games. Kickstarter means you pay the artist for a game that you hope they're going to make. I've not lost money yet. But you also get a lot of cool stuff because they throw it, and people will never be able to buy that stuff again. So I get figures for my game boards and all. I get maps and things like that come with it that people who buy the game after it comes out can't get because I kickstarted it. And so I just got this new game, and it takes about 2 years for a kickstart game to come in because of supply chains and things like that, and all of them are made over in China. But anyway, I just got this game called Deliverance, Angel Fury. And it is a battle over man's soul. It's a Christian who created it. And so there's this force of demonic forces, there's this force of angels, and they're on this board, and they come against, and they're fighting for this one soul, and it's amazing. I mean, there's cards that come out and play and things like that. It's just a wonderful game, but it reminds me of what, I said that to say this, what God does when we see into the spirit realm is God puts his game board out in front, not a game board, he puts his life board, this battle board is what I wanted to say, and we begin to see how he's moving the figures around. And we begin to pray and say, oh, that should not be there, God. God, remove that in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, it's plucked out. You know what I'm saying? Some of our greatest battles that we've won as a country were fought on tables first, where the generals come together and they mark out the different armies. Normandy is a great example of that. There was no way that could win. There was no way that the beach invasion of Normandy could ever do anything. Praise God. I want to tell you, God was with us. Amen. So I don't know if somebody was in prayer, somebody saw in the spirit realm, I don't know. But I want to guarantee you that was something of God. Israel sees that all the time in their battles. So the strategy for victory is on the table. The Holy Spirit is at work to set people free. I think that's why Jesus said this kind does not go out by prayer and fasting. Why? Because I'm going to close with this. I don't have a timer in front of me anymore. Prayer and fasting opens us up to the Holy Spirit and God's plan for our lives. So let me come back to this. Two things that we need to see when we see into the spirit realm. We begin to see the plans of the enemy. We begin to understand it. And we begin to see the victory that God has set up for us. Amen? How many know we need this in our church? There are people here today that one word could set them free if they truly understood the battle that was waging over their lives. There are people here today that could pray over their children in different ways than what they're praying over their children now because they would see into the spirit realm and know, wait a minute, I've been fighting the wrong thing. It's not that. It's this. And spirit, I call you down in my son's life. Spirit, I call you down in my daughter's life. I call you down in my grandchild's life. You will not have this. You will not have the victory. Greater are they that are with us than those that are coming against us. God and you are a majority, but you need to see it. You can say that till you're blue in the face, but you need to see it because seeing is believing. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray today that one of the gifts that would move in this church body, one of the gifts that we would be open to no matter who we are, no matter how long we've been serving you, no matter what is happening around us, one of the gifts that we would experience in this congregation would be the gift of discerning of spirits. That, Lord, first of all, we would know from your word what good and evil are. We would be able to give them the definition that you give to them. And then, God, we would understand that our victory is in you. And we would begin to see the plan that you lay out before us. We would begin to see the battle strategy that you have laid out because you understand the spirit. We don't. And so, Lord, I ask right now that you would give us a hunger for these gifts, that we would open ourselves up when we gather together in our women's groups, in our men's groups, in the places where we do Bible studies, in our OSL classes. We would open ourselves up to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that God, we would hear prophecy, that we would know words of wisdom and words of knowledge, that we would know healing, instant healings, that we would know miracles, God. Father, that we would have a faith that would go beyond the natural ability to have faith. That, Lord, we would truly, God, be able to discern the spiritual warfare around us and not get mad at the people that we generally get mad at, not get shaken by the things that come against us, but be able to see into the spirit realm to know how to fight the battle. Lord, I love you, and I pray that you would do that in our midst. I pray, God, that as we speak these messages and as we talk about these giftings, that, Lord, you would open our hearts up to believe that they are for today and to walk in them and to know them in new ways in our lives. Jesus, empower this church the church that you have gifted. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Petra had a song many, many years ago that used to say, get on your knees and fight like a man. Amen. And that's what we need to do, because that's where these battles are won.